This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. Juneteenth commemorates the emancipation of African Americans from slavery after the end of the Civil War. This year's holiday on Friday takes place 2 weeks and 1 day before this country celebrates its 250th anniversary on July 4th. Here in Chattanooga, a citywide Juneteenth weekend begins on Friday and runs through Sunday. Community organizations are joining together to present their events as United We Stand, Chattanooga's Juneteenth celebration. On Friday, the annual Juneteenth parade lines up at 11:30 a.m. on Georgia Avenue. At 12:45 p.m., an Emancipation Proclamation ceremony and program will be held at New Zion Missionary Baptist Church at 809 East M.L. King Boulevard, followed by a screening of the documentary How to Sue the Klan. Launch's Kitchen Incubator of Chattanooga hosts Kick Nights Juneteenth at 5704 Marlin Road. More events are set for Saturday and Sunday. Rick Morris is the founder and CEO of the Chattanooga Festivals of Black Arts and Ideas. Eric Atkins is co-chair of the Unity Group of Chattanooga. Rick, Eric, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Ray.
United We Stand. This is a Juneteenth celebration like Chattanooga has never seen before.
That's right. So what makes it unique and history-making for this particular year is that we have several different organizations coming together. One is the Unity Group, which is a long-lasting organization that I'm really excited to have joined hands with. We have the Fannie Mae Crumbly Foundation. We have the Tennessee Democracy Network. We talked with Launch. They're on board, and with them, they have brought the Urban League as well as Chattanooga Business Elite alongside that. And, of course, me with the Black Arts and Ideas being part of it as well. So that's a lot of organizations that have really not joined forces before to make this event a success.
And Eric, of the Unity Group, a United We Stand for Juneteenth.
Well, that's really the history of Chattanooga, Ray. When we first began the parades, it was a microcosm of all of the groups and individuals in the community that were doing something that did have the interest of the community first. Not like any other, you know, because we have so many prominent issues that are going on in our society, whether it's voting rights, whether it's interaction with law enforcement, whether it's, you know, the way government is functioning, wars and rumors of wars. And so I think that when we talk about the story of Juneteenth, it celebrates our common bond of freedom. That is what a lot of people are trying to get linked up today, is our shared humanity and the strength of people coming together. And so I think in these dark times, that is a shining light that we see going on right now. And that might be our
That's saving grace. Yes. It's a condition that we have been put in since the beginning of setting foot on these grounds in terms of divide and conquer. The system has been doing that since the beginning, from the slaves that were in the field versus the slaves that were in the house. And that mentality has just become almost part of our DNA in being able to work together and constantly being made suspicious of each other because of that. And so historically, that's, we have been conditioned not to work together. And now to be able to come and to prove that it is advantageous for us as a Black community to put our forces together. We're stronger. We have more resources. They don't always have to look the same. And one person doesn't always have to be in charge. It helps to be able to organize and do what you've done well. Like, you know, Eric said, he's been doing parades from MLK parades to Juneteenth parades and whatever. So he's doing the parade. We can help him make his parade, that parade better. I shouldn't say his, our parade better. That's what we're here for.
Right, so, don't belong to me. I'm just a caretaker.
That's exactly right.
And it is in the interest of the community. It belongs to everybody.
It does.
It's just not, you know, me or the unity groups. It's our shared struggle together,
right.
Our shared freedom together. It's been Black, it's been white, it's been red and poor. People all diverse backgrounds and experiences. It's really one of those one or two signature events a year where it pulls people together.
Right. That's
right. We used to have rubber band, but I think our parades, the MLK and Juneteenth parade, are two of those things. And we need to see people come together.
And reaching out, it wasn't last minute. I know Eric and I have been struggling to get together for a while. But for example, with the barbecue festival that's being put on with Tony Boston, that was already up and being advertised, but he was amenable to saying, hey, let's use that as one of the activities during that weekend. So we were able to pull him into it as well. And the same thing with what was going on with Fannie Mae Crumbly. They've been doing that program. We've been doing ours since 2018. And so we're taking what was already there and really not changing it very much, but just organizing it time-wise. People had to make a little concession. She had to start the parade a little bit later. She had to start a program a little later. I'm not doing anything on Friday for the most part. And then we're doing our Father's Day brunch on Sunday. So it's a three-day celebration, and all of us are doing our thing, and we're putting it together to make one big thing.
Really, we have a whole week of activities. Across Chattanooga, we're seeing more activities pop up. We're not in competition with anybody because we think that the story of Juneteenth is big enough that there's room enough for all of us.
Talk more about the parade and how that is going to unfold this year.
Well, it will unfold like it always does. We've asked people to register. Now, that don't always happen, but we like to keep a head count on it. And we did have some areas of, how should I put this delicately? We did have some areas of disappointment that occurred with various people in the city. But I want to go on record to thank Chris Anderson for helping to smooth out any ruffled feathers. The mayor has said to be a big supporter of the parade. He has actually been in all but one of the parades, personally walking it. So we believe that we have developed a path going forward, and we will continue to modify that and to work collaboratively with the city on both this and the MLK parades, because the unity group sponsors both of them. So we just want to pass on those thanks to Mr. Anderson and the mayor personally, because we know he's a supporter, and we have built a path going forward, and so people can come. They can rest assured there will be a parade. We don't think we will have a lot of vehicles, but, you know, if they do occur, we will line them up properly like we always do. And so the show will go on, and we'll work some of these kinks out of the armor going forward.
Like any beginning, there's always going to be some rough starts and some things that we have to work on. As we have now come together as a United We Stand group, that's kind of the umbrella title for all of us coming together. Right after this, we jump in for next year so that we make sure everything is on time and properly done and that we're organized even better. Like I said, some of the people we pulled in late, and so there wasn't an opportunity. But as we go forward and we see things that are going to be more permanent, then we will make sure that we are better organized. It's always hard at the beginning to get things, and particularly we started late trying to join people together. So I'm excited about that part of it for certain.
Let me add this too, Ray. Because, you know, we've seen a lot of things going on, and we love the 4th of July. Most of us, I mean, I love the fireworks, and I probably ate a rib or two too many. For some of beef ribs.
You can never eat too many ribs.
but like I said, cookouts and ice cream and fireworks and music, we do like to celebrate freedom. But Juneteenth is part of that story. You can't tell America 250 without telling the history of Juneteenth. From the amendments that came out, from the cause of freedom that was advanced because of Juneteenth. And we've always said that it was the 4th of July that freed the land, but it was Juneteenth that freed the people. Mm-hmm. And so they are interconnected. They are interlinked. You can't have one without the other, because Juneteenth finished the unfinished work of the Constitutional Convention and the 4th of July.
On Juneteenth, we have the parade.
And we'll be at a New Zion Church after that, Ricardo has a special surprise during that
I'm working on. I'm trying to put together a reenactment of the reading of the Emancipation Proclamation on June 19th in Texas. And so if you are a white male with a horse and a beard and a Union uniform, I'm looking for you. I've called around to the national parks looking for those who do reenactments, because I really want to have this, you know, I'm a theater person, so everything has to be theatrical. But this would be really great to have that person ride up and read it out to those actors that are also playing the slaves that are still in bondage, and to have that little piece makes it a little different of reading the Emancipation Proclamation. It can't be Juneteenth without paying some homage to that document. So that's what we're working on. It may or may not happen, but the reading will happen regardless of who reads it.
Well, and I have a funny story to tell about reenactments. Because, you know, we've had Abraham Lincoln reenactors down here. I've had them down here several times for the reenactment at the cemetery. Mm-hmm. So a few years ago, I'm searching all over, and it was one out of Nashville. Mr. Dennis Boggs is one of the more prominent Abraham Lincoln reenactors, but he couldn't be here. And so I was like, what are we going to do? Well, Mr. Boggs sent me an email list of about five or six names. And I'm like, well, is this man? He's like, Eric, it's a lot of us. I'm like, it's a lot of Abraham Lincolns walking around here that you can get. And so the point is that the celebration of freedom, you don't know how people contribute and which way they do.
Right.
Because it's the American story. It is us. It was made by us and it's made for us. And this is just one example of the way that people contribute to the story of our country. America really is a great country and has a great story, right? What other country in the world can say that their principles were founded on liberty and justice and freedom for everybody? I don't know anyone but one, and that's the United States of America.
The rest of the schedule for that weekend, we have Kick Nights, Juneteenth, Launch Kitchen Incubator Kickback, highlighting food, entrepreneurship, culture, and community connection. Saturday, June 20th, the Juneteenth Freedom Run.
Well, I'm glad we're talking about that because we have had to cancel that particular event because of the lack of registration. And I'll just add to it, we get a lot of negative comments on our registration page against Juneteenth and the fact that I call it the Juneteenth Freedom Run. So out of an abundance of safety and the lack of registrations, we have canceled it for this year. But we will be back next year. But I want to make sure everyone understands that we cannot have a race unless you register. So that particular event that morning is not happening. The next thing that we'll be doing after that is that we'll be going to Miller Park with the barbecue festival. And that'll start at 1 o'clock and go until about 8 o'clock on that Saturday. And then on Sunday, we're doing the Black Dads Matter Father's Day brunch at the Community Haven. That'll start at 11:30 with doors opening, and the service food will happen at 12 o'clock. But then at 2 o'clock, we have a very special guest that is coming. Her name is Dr. Gina Page. She is the founder and co-president of African Ancestry. And they started it a few years ago where they're actually going in and they've got over 300,000 samples of African DNA. And they're able to match not only black people with their country, but also with their tribe, which is really important. If you know anything about African heritage, the countries and their names, just like Africa, was not the word they used by the indigenous people of the continent. It was Akibulon. And so a lot of the countries are not named the way they were by the indigenous people in those countries. So by knowing your tribe, they were able to keep the tribe's names for them. And with her, we have Ms. Latrice Curry, who is going to have her ancestry revealed at that program. She won't know. She's done the swab. We're not telling her what her ancestry is for Africa until that event. And just to give an idea of how emotional that whole idea of finding out, we were brought here against our will and stripped away of any identity whatsoever in terms of we knew we came from Africa, but Africa is 53 countries. We had no idea after that. Names were changed, identities were changed, and so being able to trace that back is really important, and that's one of the things that the Black Arts Festival is really passionate about, is bringing back that history. When we do Black history, for the most part, we start at 1619 and we move to present, when we had over 300,000 years of history on that continent. So we're dedicated to making sure people understand the length and breadth of Black history, which means we are the first human beings on the planet. Every DNA has stemmed from that. So we're excited to have Dr. Page. That's a 2 o'clock performance. You don't have to come to the brunch, but if you want to come hear her program, that's free at 2 o'clock. If you come to the brunch, you're welcome to stay after that and enjoy her presentation and find out, where is Latrice from? What is her background?
And that reminds me, Ray, and I might shouldn't go here, but you know, we're here now. When I hear Ricardo talking about genealogy, you know, a few weeks ago, many of us were adamant and we protested when they tried to take roots off of the shelves of school libraries up in Knoxville.
That's right.
And many of us had to remind them that Alice Haley is a distinguished citizen of the state, meaning that the legislator have said he's a distinguished citizen.
And Roots is a state book.
It is.
It is a state book. We have a historical marker.
How do you do that?
A historical marker at his boyhood home.
Right.
And when you look at Roots, Roots had a profound impact not on the field of African-American history as a science, but also on genealogy.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, when you looked at a lot of the actors that got to play in the TV series, it made talking about slavery I don't normalize is not the right word, but it gave us permission to talk openly about slavery. Because after you saw that docuseries on TV, people were asking, is this what slavery was about? Is it this bad? So it gave us permission to openly talk about it, and that's what we need to do. Because we can't sit up here as individuals and say that we are always right and that we don't have stereotypes and we don't have biases. But we have to be able to go to one another in brotherly and sisterly love and to talk about those things that make us different so the differences does not divide us.
All right.
Because we can let differences divide us, or we can find ways to bring us together. And what I know Ricardo's tried to do for his long career, and I've tried to do for my career, I guess it's long, but not as long.
Thank you.
Too long.
Eric, I appreciate that.
Yeah, this is a wonderful time when we all come together. I saw it with the Ed Johnson Memorial.
That's right.
It was a thing that probably would not, you know, should not have been done. But when the people come together, look what we can do when we all come together for one purpose, to lift one another up. We can do powerful things, Ray.
That's right.
Since all of these groups are participating in this United We Stand Juneteenth celebration, if people want to learn more, where do they go online?
They can go to our webpage, which is blackartsandideasfest.com. They can go to our Facebook page as well. You can go to probably any of the organizations that are there, Facebook page, websites, and they'll have some information about those specific things. But that is the one place where they're all lined up. Like Eric was saying, his week prior is going to be on his website. So if you wanted to hear some of the speakers and join in the webinars, you can go to, what's your website address?
Well, you can go to our Facebook page.
Facebook page.
If you're in the group chat, you just type our name in.
It'll come up. It's like Black Arts. When you just type it in, it comes up.
I know our Instagrams, so we all over social, or, you know, have people in Chattanooga know how to get in contact with me if they want to learn that. And let me say thank you too, Ray. Now, I know every MLK and Juneteenth will become sort of a tradition to talk to Ray. And I there was one time that we didn't get to talk to Ray. I'm like, this does not feel right. Because we're not talking to Ray.
Yeah.
But we want to thank you.
Absolutely.
For covering us, Ray. Thank you very much.
Well,
he's a definite, I say, beyond supporter. He comes to anything he wants to come to, whether it's ticketed or not. He is free press pass to everything.
The university don't claim it, but I'm a UTC graduate too.
Like, okay.
I think you might be talking. You know, I paid enough to get through graduate school.
There you have it.
I'll tell you that.
The Father's Day brunch tickets can be bought on blackartsandideasfest.com, as well as registering to hear Dr. Page and her presentation and to hear about the unveiling of Latrice Curry's DNA results from that test. We are also going to be offering coupons if you're interested in having your DNA done with them. They don't often come up with these discounts, but they're doing this specially for us. She's driving up from Atlanta from other speaking to come to us, but we're really excited to have her. It really is an important thing to do. We have some techniques that you might be thinking about that would give your family identity, African identity, for the rest of your generation to come.
And I know we're going to close out, Ray, but you know, one of my favorite stories of freedom is that a lot of people, when they look at the Statue of Liberty, they will always see it as a symbol of freedom, of liberty. A lot of people do not know they have to climb up to the top of the Statue of Liberty. Mm-hmm. But when you look down, the Statue of Liberty has broken chains on her feet. Now, you cannot see that unless you go up and look down. And that's sort of what we are trying to do here. We have to bring down the barriers and break down the walls and let the chains, let the shackles move free.
The artist who designed the Statue of Liberty originally was presenting a statue of freedom to celebrate Juneteenth. So the statue was a black woman, and the United States refused to accept it as a black woman. So they had to go in and redo her to be the way she looks now. But his point was to be able to celebrate Juneteenth. And that's why these broken chains are incorporated under her foot, that particular symbol. But that was the original intent of the statue, was to celebrate Juneteenth, the freedom, the emancipation. It was what the statue, and it was a black woman's face instead.
And we are having to be reminded that we are still trying to break every chain that divides us.
It's still there.
Rick, Eric, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ray.
In downtown Chattanooga, what is now ML King Boulevard was once known as 9th Street. Back then, it was the heart of the city's black community during segregation and a musical magnet for blues, jazz, R&B, and soul. Bessie Smith sang the blues on what was called the Big Nine.
Now, the Bessie Smith Cultural Center at 200 East ML King Boulevard is preparing its free events for the community for this Juneteenth. On Friday, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., it presents Juneteenth, the Celebration of Freedom. On Saturday, from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m., the center once again hosts Bessie Smith's Big Nine Music Fest. Elijah Cameron is Vice President of Operations at the Bessie. Eli, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us about Juneteenth at the Bessie.
It's going to be a great time. We're doing the Juneteenth Celebration of Freedom Friday, June 19th at the Bessie Smith Cultural Center on our big lawn out front there on ML King Boulevard. We will have live music, food trucks, kids activities, free museum admission, engage with community organization, and we also have a Juneteenth documentary that we show inside in the performance hall. The Juneteenth celebrates the resilience, culture, and achievements of African Americans while also serving as a reminder of the ongoing struggles for racial equality and justice. We'd like to have you out front with us.
We will be there. Tell us what you and your colleagues at the Bessie have been thinking about in preparing for this Juneteenth.
Well, we wanted to make sure that it was a great celebration. Of course, you know, people all over, organizations all over the city will be doing things to celebrate Juneteenth. We wanted to be able to tell the true story of the celebration. So we have the museum will be open. It's free that day. And we also, like I say, have a documentary that would be talking about some aspect of slavery and the history of freedom. It's very important that we continue to talk about this particular piece. As you know, Juneteenth is just getting on the horizon for a lot of people over the last few years. So we want to make sure that we continue to showcase the Juneteenth celebration, not just for fun and activities, but to be able to tell the story of those that came through that particular time.
What's one story about Juneteenth that you're familiar with that really resonates with you?
Just a day of freedom for those people. In 1967, I had the opportunity, I went to school in Texas, and I had the opportunity to go down with a friend because we stayed on campus that year for the summer, and we went down to Houston, and he took me over to Galveston to a celebration. Man, I've never seen anything like it. Didn't know anything about Juneteenth at that time, but it was something that really resonated with me, and from that point on, Juneteenth was in my mind. While we did not celebrate it a lot until recently, that resonated with me. As a matter of fact, I was talking to that particular friend and telling him about we're getting ready to celebrate our Juneteenth. He was talking about this. Nothing like Texas. Yeah, nothing like Texas. So I'm just looking forward to it, Ray, because this is something that we need to keep in the forefront. It's something that's very important to stress to the young people today, because a lot of young people don't understand nor realize what Juneteenth is so significant to America.
Commemorating the emancipation of African Americans after the end of the Civil War.
After the end of the Civil War, exactly. And, of course, they were the last to be free. The war had been over for a period of time. Freedom had come. They didn't know about it.
And they first got that word in Texas.
In Texas, exactly.
Let's talk about Saturday, June 20th, the Big Nine Music Fest at the Bessie.
You know, that's a big day for us. We like to celebrate that particular day. June 20th, Bessie Smith Big Nine Music Fest will be presented by TVFCU. It was begun at 3 o'clock, and we'll go until about 10 p.m. that night. And it's free. All you need to do is bring your lunch here. Of course, we don't want you to bring any coolers or anything of that nature, but you can bring you some change. We have food trucks out there on the lawn. We will have iced beverages on the lawn. So all you need to do is bring your lunch here and put on your dancing shoes and come and hop around with us at the Big Nine. The Mailman Show and Band will be doing the headlining. We will have Tammy Tanyel, Mastro Hayes, DJ Augie, Willie Kitchen and Friends. And of course, we will be out there on that lawn sweating as usual, but we'll be having a good time.
Cuatro Cinco as well.
Oh, Cuatro Cinco. I did not mention him. Yes, as well. I'm sorry. And forgive me, Cuatro Cinco. But yes, we will have him on the line also. And of course, all of this is made possible with sponsorship from Coca-Cola, the Lyndhurst Foundation, the City of Chattanooga, Power 94, G93, EPB, and Tennessee Arts Commission, and we certainly thank all of them for their sponsorship.
And Juneteenth, the celebration of freedom at the Bessie, their community partners as well.
Yes, Tennessee 250, EPB, City of Chattanooga, First Horizon, and Tennessee Arts Commission.
Juneteenth celebration of freedom at the Bessie Smith Cultural Center here in downtown Chattanooga. Friday, June 19th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Correct.
Followed by the Big Nine Music Fest at the Bessie, Saturday, June 20th, 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. All events free and open to the public. For people who want to learn more about them and about everything at the Bessie, where can they go online?
They can go online at bessiesmithcc.org, or they can call us at 423-266-8658.
All right. Eli, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you, WUTC.
In Northwest Georgia, the Juneteenth celebration in Dalton has come far in less than a decade. This year's celebration features a summer concert for the holiday on Friday at 6:30 p.m. in Burr Park, and on Saturday, the Juneteenth parade at 10 a.m. in downtown Dalton, and the Juneteenth gala at 6 p.m. at the Dalton Convention Center. Marissa Kelly is president of the Dalton-Whitfield County chapter of the NAACP. Marissa, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us more about Juneteenth in Dalton.
Juneteenth, we are in our eighth annual celebration of Juneteenth. If you don't know what Juneteenth is, it's the celebration of June 19th, 1865, when General Gordon Granger goes into Galveston and lets everyone know that they are free, that they have to enforce the Emancipation Proclamation by President Lincoln, who's now deceased. And so Juneteenth, June 19th, and put those two words together means Juneteenth.
Right after the end of the Civil War, lots of things happening this Juneteenth. Let's start with what happens on the holiday this year, the summer concert.
Yes, we're going to have a great summer concert on June 19th in Burr Park. We're having our summer concert. Every year we sponsor a summer concert, a part of the summer concert series. And so it just happens that it's on Juneteenth this year. And so we're really excited about our headliner, who is Talise, and she's out of Atlanta. Then we're going to have an opener from Backbeat Band. And so it's going to be a great night starting at 6:30 in Burr Park.
And that's this Friday. Then on Saturday, we have the Juneteenth parade in downtown Dalton starting at 10 a.m.
That's right. So we'll be out late on Friday night and then back early in the morning at 10 a.m. We'll be going from First Baptist Church down Pent Street and ending at Burr Park. So we'll be right back at Burr Park the next morning, 10 a.m. in downtown Dalton.
And capping this all off is the Juneteenth gala at the Dalton Convention Center Saturday at 6 p.m.
Yes, and that's our finale, the highlight of our event. And we're really excited this year to have it as the finale of the Juneteenth celebration. Our keynote speaker is Dr. Toni Alvarado, and she is a dynamic preacher, speaker, self-care strategist out of Atlanta. So I had the opportunity to hear her last year, and I said she has to come to Dalton.
Talk more about what you and others preparing for Juneteenth in Dalton have been thinking about as this holiday approaches.
Well, really, I'm thinking about, as we're approaching July 4th, and I'm thinking about the fact that it's been 250 years since July 4th, 1776. But when I think about Juneteenth, I'm thinking about that not all of us were free July 4th, 1776, but that Juneteenth is something that we can all get around and celebrate. Sometimes people are back and forth in their celebration of our independence because not all of us were free. But as I'm thinking about Juneteenth, that's something that we can all get on board for. That's something that we can all celebrate. And it doesn't matter your skin tone, your anything like that, where your background is that Juneteenth is something that we can all celebrate.
And then after Juneteenth in Dalton, there will be another celebration at the end of the month that is going to be very special for the African American community there. Talk more about that.
The Emory Street School, it was a school for African Americans before segregation, and so they are having their reunion. They have a reunion every 2 years, and so at the end of the month, they'll have their reunion that they come back to Dalton, and you'll see people that you haven't seen in a while that are coming back for their class reunion.
And then for people who want to learn more about Juneteenth this year in Dalton, where can they go online?
They can follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Dalton Whitfield NAACP. Just check us out on Facebook or Instagram. Our website is dwjuneteenth4.wordpress.com.
All right. Marissa, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Catch all our conversations on scenic routes at our website, WUTC.org, on the WUTC app, and wherever you get your podcasts. This is Scenic Routes. I'm Ray Bassett. For nearly two decades, the Chattanooga Jewish Film Series has screened Jewish-themed films from around the world. The premiere screening for this year's series is Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Jewish Cultural Center at 5461 North Terrace Road. Screenings for the rest of the series continue at the center on Sundays at 4 p.m. from June 21st through August 2nd. Virtual screenings of the films are also available. Anne Treadwell is with the Jewish Federation of Greater Chattanooga. Anne, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here, Ray.
Let's talk about the Chattanooga Jewish Film Series.
Over the past 19 years of the Chattanooga Jewish Film Series, we've listened to the community and we've navigated our way through everything from COVID to things going on in different parts of the world. And so this year, we made the decision that instead of having the series be in two parts, one in the summer and one in January, we meshed the feature and the documentary series. So what you'll find beginning June 17th is about once a week, either a feature film or a documentary film. And those films are available in person on our big, wonderful projector and screen or virtually. Unfortunately, the founder of the series, Sanford Weiner, passed away a little over a year ago. And the board of directors made the decision that we wanted to be able to annually honor his memory. So the first film in every series from now on will be the Sanford Weiner Tribute Film and Reception. And it is free and open to the public.
And let's talk about that on Wednesday at the Jewish Cultural Center. Reception at 6 p.m., the film at 7 p.m., The Ring.
The Ring has won 12 international awards. It is an amazing film. It is in Hebrew and Hungarian with English subtitles. And I want to mention that all the films, whether they're in English or a foreign film, since it is an international series, always has subtitles. So those people who are having hearing difficulties can still really enjoy the film. So the film is about a religious Orthodox man who has a strong bond with his mother, who is a Holocaust survivor from Hungary. And as she is dying, she has talked throughout her life about how a ring saved her life. The man's relationship, unfortunately, with his daughter is not great, as a lot of relationships that some people have with their parents. And the ring really becomes a way for them to learn how to understand each other.
Let's talk about the next film in the series, Malachi, Sunday, June 21st.
Malachi has a facial deformity when he was born, and his parents pretty much abandoned him. A midwife who was there at his birth from a very Orthodox religious family takes him in as a foster and a member of the family. But this woman is really an interesting person because she reached out to the birth parents. This is a documentary, so it's true. She really works hard at getting all parts of the party to love each other.
Sunday, June 28th, For the Love of a Woman.
So this is a movie in English. It was one that took me by surprise because I thought, oh no, just a wonderful, sappy, romantic movie. But it's not. This woman at her mother's deathbed was left a note that makes her go to Israel, to the Palestine that her mom grew up in. And she finds lots of things she had no idea were coming her way. So it is really about resilience and understanding all the different backgrounds and situations that happened in the early founding of Israel.
Sunday, July 5th, The Road Between Us, touching on the conflict that goes on as we speak.
This was a film I didn't want to see because, you know, October 7th was horrific. But I came away after this film, which is a documentary, with so much respect. This is about a grandfather who is a retired Israeli general who, when October 7th happened, went to the area and found his children and his grandchildren and basically saved them. And it is not bloody. It is really about family.
And then Sunday, July 12th, The Sound Man.
This is one for you, Ray. So this is about radio.
Ah.
And it actually happens in Belgium, in Brussels. The main character has a very unique sense of hearing and works with radio theater, which was very popular in 1940, 1941. And it is a whole thing about the relationship between two characters. And the bottom line is, who do you really trust?
And then Sunday, July 19th, The Last Spy.
So here's another documentary, and, you know, it is not James Bond. It is the portrait of a 100-year-old Israeli-American who lived through the Holocaust and became one of the first CIA super spies during the Cold War. And he tells his whole story from beginning to end. And I thought, oh no, Holocaust history, and this is not about that. This is about how the Cold War and how the United States has put together its spy system.
And then on Sunday, July 26th, we have The Sea.
And this is one that is heart-wrenching and so important. It does not make Israel look good. It is about a Palestinian father and son. The son wanted to go see the sea, and for people who might not recall their geography, there is a lot of the Mediterranean Sea that is attached to Israel. And unfortunately, the son, although he had the opportunity to see it through school, didn't have the correct papers. And he was denied entry and then took off alone, crossed the border by himself, and it is about his father's search for him and the dedication for a father to his son.
And then the finale for the Chattanooga Jewish Film Series, Sunday, August 2nd, Royal Swap.
So this is yet another documentary, but also really gives us a look into the long-term relationship between Lebanon and Israel. It is about hostages that were taken in the 1982 war with Lebanon, and the two women, one from each side, Lebanon and Israel, who saved the hostages and calmed the situation.
And let's talk about the art exhibit at the Jewish Cultural Center, which will be unveiled along with the premiere of this film series, Wednesday, June 17th.
Remember, this opening of the exhibit and the film and the reception are open to the public, free of charge. It is important to us to really tribute Sanford's memory. The exhibit is called America the Beautiful. And I bet, because I didn't know this, that America the Beautiful, the song, was really written in the late 1800s by a woman who had just come back from a hiking trip, and that the poem itself is much longer than the song that we're singing, and also has to do with how she compliments how the beauty of America and the political strife that goes on in America is together. And that's what I used to select the artwork. There are some amazing landscapes in this exhibit. There are some political statements that some people are not going to like, whether you're liberal or conservative or Republican or Democrat. But I really wanted to capture the America that's beautiful to us right now, even when it's frustrating.
This is taking place amid the celebration of America 250.
Everything takes place at the Jewish Cultural Center, which is 5461 North Terrace Road. The gallery hours are from 9 to 5, Monday through Thursday, 9 to 4 on Friday, although because the in-person films are on Sundays at 4, you are more than welcome to view the exhibit when you come to see the film. We've made that available. The films are usually an hour to an hour and a half long. They are in many, many different languages, and we wanted a way to celebrate the 250th that was encompassing for all people.
And for people who want more information on all of this, where can they go online?
The best thing to do is to go to our website, jewishchattanooga.org, or you can always give us a call at 423-493-0270.
All right, Anne, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ray.
13 might be considered an unlucky number, but for this year's Chattanooga Film Festival, that number fits right in. The 13th Annual Film Festival will be held in person this Thursday through Sunday at Chattanooga Theater Center and online this Friday through Saturday, June 27th. Chris Dorch is the festival's executive director and lead film programmer. Dustin Kramer is the senior features programmer and the virtual events coordinator for the festival. Chris, Dustin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us back.
This is the 13th year.
It's the 13th year. Somehow we've kept this guy going for longer than a decade now. And the city, I think, has been our secret weapon there. It's obviously a beautiful place to hold an event. But yeah, this is somehow our unlucky 13th year. And we're leaning into that in all the ways that we can.
As we would expect you to.
100%. I'm manifesting luck. I'm manifesting lucky. Lucky 13. We're taking it back.
Well, I was born on a Friday the 13th.
Hey, there you
go. So it all comes together.
That's beautiful.
We may have something special for you at the festival.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Let's talk about some of the world premieres that are going to happen.
Yeah, there's a bunch of great stuff this year, both things that are world premieres and full red carpet events happening for them. A really terrific film called Night After Night. It's kind of one of those things that the less we tell you, the better, but I can say that we really pride ourselves on bringing in programming that kind of straddles the line between a lot of genres. We like it when a story can scratch off a lot of things in that film fan bingo card, and this movie finds its way into sci-fi, into thriller territory and a lot of really cool places. And that entire cast and crew, even more folks than we originally thought, are going to be joining us on the ground for that one. In terms of U.S. premieres, we have something with the lovely title of Don't Forget the Oatmeal that is making its U.S. premiere with us. I don't know how to explain this movie with words, except for to say that it's kind of like if you've seen Poor Things, and I think people know Yorgos Lanthimos' work recently because he's getting a lot more accolades these days. It's kind of like a Yorgos Lanthimos film, but with martial arts sequences. So it's absolutely just unique and delightful, and we're really, really fortunate that we get to be the first place in the U.S. that shares this.
It's weird and hilarious and in all of the right ways. I'd also like to mention First Feature, which is a documentary that's more than 10 years in the making about
another world premiere.
Yeah, absolutely. About something of an outsider artist who started making films in college with his friends, and while making one of his films, his buddies at college started making a documentary about him making this film, and the end product, both the documentary and the end product feature that he made that the documentary is documenting, are fascinating examples of what can be done with a little bit of elbow grease and some friends and a lot of free time.
To spiral off of what Dustin's saying, we're seeing such an uptick in people trying to create art with AI these years that these projects that celebrate kind of the human experience of creating art have kind of taken the forefront for us. There's a lot of those kind of stories this year. There's also a great documentary about the making of one of the most maligned films of the 80s, a movie called Megaforce that had Barry Bostwick, best known for Rocky Horror Picture Show, and was immediately forgotten despite the fact that some of us remember it.
And yet somehow I remember the title.
Exactly.
I wasn't sure until you said Barry Bostwick. It's not a film I recall seeing, but I recall hearing about.
Yeah. Well, you know, a really terrific filmmaker named Bob Lindemeyer made a documentary because he thought he was the only person in the world that loved this movie. And throughout the course of trying to just find a few of these crazy vehicles from the movie and restore them, he met Barry, and he started this process of documenting something that he thought he was this misfit, the only person that loved. And it winds up being a story about both loving the things that you love no matter what the world tells you, and also just kind of following your own Quixote-esque dreams to places. Like, there's a point in this movie where he and Barry Bostwick are riding fantasy action sci-fi vehicles and just cavorting. And if you can't experience dopamine from this moment in cinema, then I don't have anything for you,
Rick. Primo cavorting, let me just say. Primo. It is the top level cavorting. Yes.
Top tier.
Talk about a few more of the cult films that are coming to the table.
Yeah, you know, for us, it's always about striking a balance between the new voices that we're discovering and hopefully, you know, introducing to new people and things that we ourselves as film buffs love. And we've always, from the very beginning, and especially since we've started doing our monthly Double Secret Cinema Society, but there's a lot more deep cuts in the mix. And for us, celebrating the birthday of movies is something we try to do every year, especially projects that mean a lot to us. This year, we're getting to do two anniversaries that mean the world to us. One One is the 40th anniversary of an animated film from 1981, the year of my birth, good God, called Heavy Metal. Heavy Metal is both terrific because it's an amazing piece of completely handmade animation, but it also boasts this just time capsule of an iconic 80s soundtrack. Also, maybe the only record in the world where you can hear Grand Funk Railroad and Devo like two moves from each other, but really fantastic.
Peanut butter and chocolate.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, it's our 13th year, and with it being our 13th year, it's also the 45th anniversary of Friday the 13th Part 6, which is...
I think you got those swapped, but yes, we're on the right track.
Oh, I did swap the anniversaries.
45 for Heavy Metal, 40 for...
I'm glad that one of us knows numbers and remembers
them. Go ahead, so sorry.
I don't. But yeah, Friday the 13th is one that we love. Part 6, I think for fans, is especially fun because it's the one where Paramount finally admitted to themselves that the campers weren't the reasons why people were watching these movies. That it's really... Jason is the James Bond here. They even give him this iconic kind of James Bond intro.
Absolutely.
And we brought in a filmmaker we absolutely love, Joe Lynch, who's made movies from Netflix all over the place.
Hatchet films, things like that.
Yeah.
Long Turn 2.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Just a great dude. And he actually did the commentary track as a film historian on this. So he's coming along with some very top secret things that we can't tell you about to make that 45th or 40th.
Let's just say, if you're a fan of the Friday the 13th franchise as a whole, there's more going on in this screening than just what's going on with Jason Lives. So you might want to be there for that.
Right. And also, you know, making sure that we have things like traditional art house, but at the same time, elevating these just crowd-pleasing cult classics to the same platform is really a big part of what we do every year.
Talk more about the works by local and regional filmmakers for the festival.
One of the things from day one that we've always done is make sure that as big as we got or as many films from other countries or other places that we showcased, that there was always an element of local love here. And that created a block that we jokingly started calling CFF Salute Your Shorts. And that name stuck. And here we are 13 years later with an incredible block of regional film and also student films. What's really crazy is the amount of incredible work we're seeing from people that are either still in school or just out of school. And I should also shout out both UTC here and Chat State because we're seeing an incredible influx of volunteers and people starting to get involved with our little community from those places too. So it honestly just makes us feel very good about kind of the legs that local creativity is standing on. And at a time when we're trying to put AI data centers down here in downtown Chattanooga, I want these people to have more of a coalition and know what their actual resources are.
We're big fans of human beings creating art. We had mentioned this last year. Last year was the first year where we had officially established a ban on all films that had any amount of generative AI used in production because we believe in human-created art. I want the machines to wash my dishes and wash my clothes. I want the humans to make the art.
I'm willing to be their friend if they want to hang out.
Yeah,
but
totally,
you know, I just don't want
them
to
hang
make
out,
my movies.
But yeah, don't make my movies.
Yeah.
That's something that's very important to us, and we want local filmmakers, national filmmakers, international filmmakers to know that if they care about those things that they have home at CFF.
Talk more about where this is unfolding in person. There is, once again, a virtual component.
Yeah, we understand certainly the state of the world and that gas is currently $79 a gallon or something like that. And that for some people, whether you're out of state or even in the city, you might not have the opportunity to travel. So one of the things since 2020 we've really tried to embrace every year is audience accessibility and making sure we had options for people both on the ground and wherever they were in the U.S. So along those lines, we call our festival a hybrid event now. Our opening weekend, the first 4 days are always on the ground. And those first 4 days kind of take you on a guided tour. There's the possibility, if you don't need to use the restroom or eat that often, to actually watch everything that we show on the ground. And we kind of lead you on a tour of what we think
is... As they say, we did the math.
Yeah, we did indeed. Oh, I guess we maybe gave them a few minutes less for the meal breaks than we should have.
Sure, that's fine.
We should have looked at OSHA standards, but it gives us an opportunity to really curate that opening weekend and kind of control what people are watching and then toss them into a playground where they can really choose their own adventure with so much great stuff from all over.
And for people who want to learn all about it, where can they go online?
You can find us at chatfilmfest.org. Right now, you'll find our schedule for both in-person and virtual screenings. You'll find a film guide where you can get a bit more context on every movie we're showing and every event we're doing this year. There is a ton.
And if you're interested in supporting us year-round and getting some content from us year-round, we do have a Patreon, and you can just search Patreon for Chattanooga Film Festival. It's called the Double Secret Cinema Society.
It gives us an excuse to bring some year-round programming to folks, and with it being virtual, it's finally allowed us as a nonprofit to not have any overhead when we try to plan screenings.
All right, Chris, Dustin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Make Music Day is a global celebration of learning and creating live music held each June 21st, the longest day of the year. For communities that participate, the event is open to people of all ages and skill levels through free in-person events.
Here in Chattanooga, the citywide music festival returns for its 10th year this Sunday. Janelle Drake is the organizer of Make Music Chattanooga. Janelle, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Make Music Day is back again, as always, on June 21st, this time a Sunday.
Yes, 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 yes. We're making music on a Sunday this year. Just like every other year, Make Music Day is really a celebration of music where everybody can participate. And so we're doing it like we've done in years past. We'll have music all across the city, free, publicly accessible events that anyone can attend or participate in, no matter your experience level.
Remind us about how this is part of an ongoing worldwide movement for communities around the globe to celebrate making music.
World Music Day is a global celebration. It's celebrated all over. And so we're happy here in Chattanooga to be participating in this global celebration.
Talk more about some of the opportunities that will be available for people.
We'll have events, like I said, for people to attend. But if you are a musician, performer, or if you have a venue that you would like to host performers at, we still have registration open to participate. But we will have live music happening, like I said, across the city. Be on the lookout for the complete lineup. But anywhere that you can think of, whether it's restaurants or street corners, parks, we're going to have live music going on. So definitely make sure that you stay tuned into makemusicday.org/Chattanooga.
What's new this year is the week leading up to the day.
This year actually marks 10 years of Chattanooga celebrating World Music Day. And so to celebrate that and to honor it, we wanted to have a week-long celebration. And so from June 15th all the way to the 21st, we will have different events that will be highlighted throughout the week that you can attend just to, like we said, celebrate World Music Day and make the celebration even bigger than it's been in past years.
And for people who want to learn more, where can they go online?
You want to learn more? You can visit us online at makemusicday.org/Chattanooga.
All right, Janelle, thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Ray.
Catch all our conversations on Scenic Routes at our website, WUTC.org, on the WUTC app, and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Routes. We come to you from the studios of WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroutes423@gmail.com. Follow us on social media at scenicroutes423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. Join us again next time for Scenic Routes.